And that's what voting is. Voting is the process in which it is the means in which plunder is divided, basically. Because all these candidates have these things that they promise people, and they've got to pay for that, and they do that through taxes. And when you're choosing a candidate, you're really just choosing who is going to plunder the rest of the population and for what they're going to spend it on.
Welcome to the Off-Grid Outpost podcast, where we discuss the journey to real liberty through self-sufficiency, counter-economics, non-aggression, and the agora.
The Outpost represents the border between societal norm and the pioneer spirit. Every episode contains practical, philosophical, and technical information you can use to gain the freedom you deserve. Hey everyone, it's Regina, and welcome to the Off-Grid Outpost podcast. I am here with Cyrus.
Hello.
And today we're talking about playing hooky on voting day.
Yeah. Awesome.
That's pretty much what we both did this year.
Yep.
You haven't been voting. How long has it been since you voted? When did you decide to opt out of the voting partisan system?
I guess around either 08 or 09. Somewhere around, I don't remember exactly which year I quit voting. Somewhere around there.
So not too long then.
Yeah.
It's been a couple cycles that you've missed.
Oh, I haven't missed it at all.
It's
gotten better. The presidential election season is a lot more fun now that I don't vote.
Oh yeah, aren't they super entertaining and exciting?
Mm-hmm.
Well, everyone else is like, there's a sense of dread.
And seriousness.
Did you say mysteriousness?
Seriousness.
Oh, seriousness. I'm like, I don't think there's anything mysterious about it, really. They put it all out there.
Yeah, and this, I guess since we're going to be talking about the voting and the presidential election, we might mention that we're recording this the day after Election Day.
Yeah.
But it's probably not going to get published for, what, a week? Week and a half? 2 weeks?
No, we're going to throw it out on Friday.
Oh, yeah. We're going to go ahead and put it out Friday. That's right.
Yeah. So it'll be close.
Yeah.
But we still don't know. We don't know who the president is yet. It's been probably 24 hours in. It's Wednesday, November 4th, and it's very, very close. The country is fully divided exactly how they planned it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know what the hell's going to happen. Trump's already talking about taking it to the Supreme Court, which was your prediction.
Mm-hmm. I think my man Bo Jiden can pull it out.
Bo Jiden. I think your man might get it.
I think he's got a shot. Which is kind of funny. Because 6 months ago, I would have never thought he even had a chance.
I know. That's a crazy thing. I mean, he's like kind of the dark horse, I guess. Except he's more like a mule or a donkey. The dark ass.
Dark ass. That's funny.
Now, remind me why you want Bo Jiden to win.
Comic value. Yeah, it'll just be funny. It'll just be the blooper reel for his 4 years will be massive.
The memes will be epic.
Yes.
But like you said in one of the last episodes, you were talking about Bo Jiden and his robe on the White House lawn.
Right. Yeah.
Wandering around confused.
Yeah.
Secret Service trying to lasso him in.
People retiring from the Secret Service in record numbers because they just can't take it anymore.
And they can't take lassoing in Bo Jiden. Yeah, you know, this is the first year I haven't voted, and I still have the non-voting guilties. Like, I'm getting over it, because it was yesterday, so now I can't go back in time, but yesterday, I was feeling a little down, a little bit, like, not that I had failed, but it's almost like when you can't participate in a game, and everybody else is participating, and you're not in school. You're told to sit on the bench. It was almost kind of the same feeling for me.
Yeah. And even what makes it even worse is you're raised to believe that it's your civic duty. Like you're a bad citizen if you don't do it.
I feel like a bad citizen.
Right?
Well, and for me, had I voted, I would have voted for Trump, as I am more, I err on the side of more conservative, pro-gun, pro-job, pro-oil. That's just who I am.
Right.
I've always been more attuned to that side, so you start to feel the worry and the anxiety, like my vote matters so much that I could have saved the election if it goes the other way.
Mm-hmm.
But then Trump will open his mouth and say a bunch of just really jackassy shit, and I'm like, fuck, I can't believe I voted for that guy.
Yeah.
So I just can't win for losing with this thing, you know? It's just like this anomaly in my life. Voting is like an anomaly in my life. Gets me all twisted up all emotionally and shit. That's what they do, though. That is the scheme.
Well, I mean, let's talk a little bit about that feeling that you were having, like, your vote matters, and what if Trump loses and you didn't vote? How badly, you know, that would probably make you feel a little bit more guilt if he loses, right?
Well, yes, in the fact that we're actually in Arizona right now, which ended up actually being a swing state or battleground state. Mm-hmm. So maybe my two votes combined with maybe another 100,000 other people that didn't vote, maybe it would have changed it.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm feeling even like the more guilties, because in Montana, it typically goes red. It's changing a little bit over the past 5 years. However, you can pretty much rest assured it's going to go red. And then this year I was actually in a state where maybe I could have made a difference. So now the guilties are even worse.
Yeah.
Jeez. It's messed up.
Yeah, we can talk about, we can start with the candidates and how they get to become candidates.
I don't get that at all. Like, I don't understand, and I think I might be in the same boat with most Americans, is I don't understand the political process and the voting process really at all, which is a shame. And I don't even think they really teach us in school. And they probably don't for a reason. But so how does that happen? How did Trump and Biden even end up in this position?
Okay, well, this year, Trump ended up in that position because he's the president. So
yeah, he's incumbent.
He's the incumbent. The incumbent's always going to run again. But on the Democrat side, there was a primary process where the Democrat Party has to select their candidate from, geez, I don't even remember. Wasn't there like 19 candidates this year? I don't remember. That might have been the last cycle.
Remember.
But anyway, the party has to select their candidate. And what's important for people to know is a couple of things. The first thing is that the state elects a president. People of the state do not elect the president. The state sends delegates to vote on the president. Now, the rules that most of the states have set up are basically the same. The people vote, and those delegates who vote for the president who represent the state have to vote the way the people did. So, to one degree. All states except two of them, and I don't remember which ones they are. Nebraska, I know, is one of them. But they're winner-take-all states. So let's take Texas, for example. Mm. They have some 30-something candidates, 32 or 33 delegates that get to vote for president. And it's a winner-take-all. So if 51% of the population of the state of Texas votes for President Trump and 49% vote for Biden, then President Trump gets all 30 whatever of those votes. So they don't split the votes up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if for Matt.
But it's within the same party, though. I thought it wasn't in the same party.
So both parties have delegates in the state
Oh, I see.
And they're ready to vote when the voting is done. They're ready. When the people have voted, they're ready to cast their vote. And it's their vote that elects the president. And those people are assigned by the state through the political parties. So each party selects their delegates who will vote.
Yeah, and we have nothing to do. So we have nothing to do with actually selecting the candidates. We have 0%.
The delegates are chosen by the party members. Mm-hmm. And they're usually, party officials, party insiders. We don't choose those. We don't vote for those people. Unless you're involved in your party, then you at some point will get a chance to vote for your district delegate.
Yeah, so you have to be a politician to participate in choosing who's even going to run for president.
Almost. So, during the primary process, you have delegates that are supposed to vote the will of the people, but they don't have to. They're called superdelegates, and there's a certain percentage of those delegates in each party. They can vote however they want to vote. And the party makes these rules. So sometimes it's 15% or sometimes it's 20% that have this ability to vote their own will and not the will of the people. But they change those rules all the time. They've even changed those rules during a convention. You have a national Democratic convention where the Democrats are choosing their candidate, and things will get wonky, backdoor deals get made, and the party can actually change the rules during the convention. It's really crazy because it's a private organization. They're not the rules that dictate this process of choosing a candidate to run for president, they're not set by the states. They're set by the parties. Huh. And so the parties have huge sway over who becomes the candidate. And
so it's basically totally rigged.
It is rigged to a degree. It's not as bad as it used to be. Used to, all delegates in the parties were super delegates, and they were just politicians and party insiders. They've changed that since the 60s when they had riots because of, the party choosing a candidate that the people didn't choose. And it was a big explosion of people pissed off about it. And so they've given the people a little bit more illusion that they're choosing the president or choosing the candidate.
So then do super delegates still exist?
Yeah, they still exist now.
And what is a superdelegate? I don't even know what that is.
In the Democratic Party, there are, I think this year, the percentage of superdelegates was 20%. But I can't be sure of that because they change it all the time.
At their whim and fancy, there's no process to changing this other than they just change it.
Well, there's an internal process, but it's just party insiders that make all this happen. Regular people don't make this happen, don't make these changes. And so let's say that the Democrats have 2,000 delegates that go to the convention, and that's not the number. I don't know what the number is, but it's in the thousands. And 20% of the, let's say 1,000, just to make the math easier, 1,000 delegates, and 20% of those are super delegates. That means that during the first round of voting for the candidate between all the delegates, what is 20%?
200?
200. So 200 of those 1,000, they can vote however they want to vote, and the other 800 have to vote the way the people of their state voted. So 800 people are representing the vote of the people. To a degree, don't forget, it's a winner take all.
Oh, my goodness.
And so it's not even at the that is the fairest point of the process. That is when the process is the most fair, and it's still not fair.
Still, yeah. But it sounds very convoluted to me.
It is very convoluted, and it gets worse. It only gets worse. And so that first round of voting, if one of the candidates doesn't have a 50% margin, 50% of the vote, not a margin, then they go to another round. And in the second round, more people become superdelegates and don't have to vote the will of the people.
Wow.
And this is where backdoor deals start getting made. You support my candidate. This candidate drops out of the race and gives all his delegates to this other candidate. This is where all the finagling, the backdoor stuff happens. Hey, listen, I'll drop out of the race and I'll give you all my delegates. But I want to be Secretary of State or whatever. I mean, I'm just making that up. But those are the kind of deals that happen behind the scenes.
That sounds so sleazy.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's sleazy, but yeah, I don't like it. But I mean, basically the point is people think that their vote is making a difference. In reality, it's not really making that much of a difference, except the most it does is make people feel like they've selected a president.
But then I message constantly how my vote matters and get out and vote. And then you watch the numbers roll in and, you know, I still don't understand the concept how my vote doesn't matter per se. Other than that, I'm just one person. But as a collective body of voters, why does it not matter?
Well, so you can look at it in a couple of different ways. So if you look at your vote as the deciding factor, then your vote matters very, very little. If you look at it as my vote is just my voice, then it matters in the sense that, especially if you're in a particular group of people, like say, for example, if you're a minority or you're a soccer mom or you're 18 to 24, These are groups that the politicians target when they campaign. So this year, you place your vote, and in the next election cycle, the politicians will say, well, this group of people that Regina fits in, they all voted this way, and they were a deciding factor as a group. They were a deciding factor in this election, so we need to target these people this year, which means you will, in the next cycle, get pandered to. They will come after your vote by offering you what they think you want.
So they harvest data.
And so
data.
It matters. Yeah, it's all about data. And so it matters in that sense. But as far as counting the votes to who becomes president, it's really minuscule because, number one, the candidate that is put in front of you was put in front of you by a party. So you already you're selecting between two people who you would have never chosen most of the time.
I wouldn't.
Like
have.
if they could write in the name of the person they want to be president, there would not have been many people 4 years ago writing in the name Donald Trump.
Well, that's the thing. I know that when the candidates come up, I always think, how the hell did this person get picked? What was that process like? Where did he come from?
Right.
Like when Obama just came out of frickin' nowhere, he rose from the ashes. I don't even know. I still don't know where he came from biologically.
Right.
But it's that thing where they literally present us with these candidates that they've picked through this convoluted backdoor system of delegates and superdelegates where people are bribing and paying and convoluting and being sleazy. And then boom, they're like placed in front of us and here's your choice.
Yeah. So
it's bizarre.
You're getting to choose between two and sometimes three people that they would have never been your choice. But those are the choices you're given. So right there, your vote already, in my opinion, your vote already doesn't matter.
It's already invalid, really, when you think of it that way. unless we actually had a real say from the very beginning of choosing, but that just doesn't happen. And even then it wouldn't happen, really.
Well, and what's interesting is, you know, this process was put in place centuries ago. You know, a couple hundred years ago, this process was put in place. And back then, people didn't campaign like they do now. Mm-hmm. There wasn't radio and TV and the internet and all of that. So most people didn't even know anything about the people who were running for president, you know, unless you were George Washington or someone like that, and everybody knew who George Washington was. But
yeah, that's a good point. Media's changed
a lot. They really didn't even know. And so the people who wrote the Constitution, they had to come up with a compromise. Some people wanted just the government, the states, to choose their president. Like, elected officials got together and they chose a president, and the people had nothing to do with it. But there were enough people in that constitutional convention that said, you know, that gives too much power to the state. We've got to give some of the power to the people. Mm-hmm. And so that's how they came up with this electoral process, which is where that's where the argument of the 3/5 of a person slave argument was. That's how that got started, because the southern states wanted more. They wanted representation based on their population, even counting their slaves. And the northern states were like, well, that's not fair. You know, you want us to count those people that you don't even let vote, you know? So anyway, I'm getting sidetracked, but
yeah, that's kind of an interesting historical lesson.
This process was designed a couple hundred years ago, and it's changed over time. It has changed, but like today, you could do a popular vote. I mean, there's no reason, if they really wanted the people to choose a president, there's no reason it couldn't happen with technology. I mean, you could have an app on your phone and vote for your president.
Right.
And you could put in any name you wanted. The technology is there. The technology exists that people could literally type in the name of the person they wanted for president in their phone, and the person who got the most votes, they became president.
It could absolutely be. And then there was a big argument for the popular vote in 2016, because Hillary would have taken it as opposed to Trump. And, you know, mm-hmm. what is the Electoral College? And I want to get into the Electoral College, because I still don't understand it, even though I've read about it. My brain hasn't wrapped around it yet. And I'm sure you have a pretty good grasp on it. But before we do that, I just wanted to quickly bring up a documentary called The Great Hack. Just for the fact that we're talking about media and multimedia and how it's changing how people know candidates and campaigning and whatnot. Have you watched it mm-hmm. yet?
It's not familiar to me. I guess I haven't seen it.
It's called The Great Hack, and I need you to watch it because you will totally love it. It's crazy.
Okay.
Basically, it's a documentary film. It's about the Cambridge Analytica corporation that used people's data, mined people's data through Facebook. So Facebook was in on this. And through billions and billions of dollars, they were able to place targeted, super targeted ads in front of people that were on the fence about who they were going to vote for in 2016. And they say that Cambridge Analytica is the reason why Trump won, and it wouldn't have been possible without this company.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And it's this whole...
Well, I don't doubt it at all.
Yeah, it's this whole psychological trip about how they use certain messaging, and it's just very... It's almost disturbing what this company mm-hmm. did. And they actually did it with quite a few political organizations. Black Lives Matter. There was another vote that they technically, quote unquote, stole or influenced down in South America. It's really interesting, and it'll make you question everything that is presented to you on the internet, really.
Right.
It makes you realize how hardcore this messaging, this brainwashing can be to influence huge world events and politics and voting. So The Great Hack, it's on Netflix. I highly recommend it. It's a must watch. You'll never use the internet the same again, or your phone.
I'll watch it tonight. Yeah,
yeah, you got to watch it. You'll love it. So then now back to the Electoral College versus popular vote argument. This is one thing that kind of keeps me from feeling like my vote matters, is the Electoral College. I don't really understand it. It's very convoluted. It has been critical in election outcomes more than once. So what the hell is it?
Because the president is elected by delegates, not citizens.
Mm-hmm.
And because the states, the 48 of them, take a winner-take-all position on the delegates, that's how you can have a discrepancy in popular vote versus electoral college. So think of it like this. Take California, for example. A presidential candidate can, and I think this even happened 4 years ago, Trump won more votes in the state of California than he did in any of the other states.
Yes. Per capita, yeah.
No, not per capita.
I mean, not per capita, but like vote by vote. Yes, yes, I got what you're saying.
Vote by vote. He won more votes in California than he won in any other state. Not all the other states combined. Just in any one state, he won more votes in California.
Mm-hmm.
California has something like 50-ish delegates. So even though he got like 40% of the vote in California, he didn't get 40% of those 50 delegates. Because it's winner take all. So Hillary Clinton got all 50 of those candidates. Winner take all.
That
so
doesn't
there
sound
were
fair.
A certain.
How is that fair to the voter?
It's not fair. That's where your vote doesn't count.
I mean, not at all. It literally, even like, though he got 40% of California, he doesn't get 40% of the electoral votes. That's effed up.
So,
I don't like that.
So if you're one of those 40% that voted for Trump, your vote just got eliminated, like it didn't count, period.
That's
because not a single delegate from California voted for Trump.
Wow.
So that's how you can have the discrepancy between the popular vote and the Electoral College. And it happens most often when a race is really close, like it could happen this year again.
Yeah, and it's starting to look like that. Let me pull up the stats really quick on where we stand. So Biden's at 238, Donald Trump's at 213, just waiting on a few key states, such as Pennsylvania, Michigan. I think Pennsylvania's the big one coming in. Florida went Trump. Mm-hmm. So what's kind of messed up this round is that, so Pennsylvania, Trump is in the lead now by 10%. However, they say there's 1.5 million ballots yet to be received, and they'll receive them up to 3 days after the election, the official mm-hmm. election day. So we're looking at not even getting Pennsylvania figured out until Friday, Saturday, Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Because a deadline is to receive it by, I guess it would be Friday, and then they have to count it. So we're gonna be out another week or so.
Yeah. And I think it's probably fair to assume that some of these states are going to be contested and require recounts. And if recounts go on and on like they did in Florida, when was it? 8 years ago? I don't remember.
It like dragged on. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I remember that.
And, you know, the state, because here's another option that the states can do, and we could see this year, is the state, if it's close enough, and if the recounts don't produce a winner clearly enough, the state can just say, listen, we're voting for this person.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because the states choose the president. The people do not. The states have just come up with these systems that make the people think they're voting for the president, but the states choose the president.
Wow. If it's close. Well, technically, more than just if it's close, because from the very get-go, they're choosing who even runs.
And the states, if they could, they could change the whole rules about how we vote. I mean, they don't have to let the people vote. Huh. It's not in the Constitution.
Interesting. Yeah, right now we're waiting for Nevada, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, and Georgia to come in. Every other state is pretty much decided, and it looks like Alaska, but I don't think Alaska has much electoral votes.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, that makes me feel better, you know, that I didn't participate, because the system is just so crooked and rigged, and then the state decides anyways, in the end, if it gets to that point.
Mm-hmm.
But the popular vote right now is actually with Biden at 50.1% and Trump at 48.3%.
Right, which, so we'll get to listen to that whole debate again.
And there, I'm sure there's a margin of error there, too. So what is the margin of error? If it's 1% margin of error, it's basically split literally down the middle again.
Yeah, and for me, the voting, the reason I don't vote isn't because my vote really doesn't matter. For me, it's a, well, let's talk about it this way. So when you were voting, what was, did you ever consider what the moral position of democracy was? Like, why is democracy good and why is it fair? What were you taught?
For me, I wasn't really taught anything other than that this is what we do and this is how we do it. And then I just kind of was like drawing in history class. I was doodling and stuff, you know, because they're teaching us maybe they taught us about the democratic ways, the system. But I feel like they didn't really elaborate very much other than that. This is what we do. This is how we do it. It's important to vote. And I never really questioned it up until very recently when we started talking, actually, which has been now about 6 months. I started questioning the cores and the values and the Constitution and the democracy itself. It never really dawned on me other than that I knew I was already mentally opting out.
Mm-hmm.
Unconsciously, I think, more than consciously opting out of the system that has failed me, that I do not agree with. And I never question the why or the depth.
Yeah. Well, most people will say something to the effect of, well, this is the best system that we've come up with. This is the fairest way for societies to choose their leaders, right?
Yeah.
And something along those lines. And my position is that not only is it unfair, it's simply immoral. Like voting by majority rule is not moral in the way that we do it. So, like, let's say, for example, you and me and Joe Bob decide we're going to go to eat and we're going to go out to dinner, and you say, hey, let's split the bill. Okay. And I start thinking about this, and I'm thinking, I don't really want to split the bill. You know, first of all, I don't have that much money, and I'm going to eat really light because I don't have that much money, and we're going to an expensive restaurant, and I know Regina, I know how much she likes to eat, and not only does she like to eat a lot, but she likes to, she likes to eat really expensive stuff.
I get the king cut prime rib every time. I mean, come on.
Yeah, she's going to get a king cut prime rib, and she's also going to get a lobster tail.
Well, hell yeah, they're on the surface turf. Who wouldn't? You're paying for
She's going to have a few glasses of wine.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely wine.
And I know that Joe Bob, or did I call him Joe Bob or Billy Bob? Joe Bob.
Joe Bob.
I know that he he always thinks he's hungrier than he really is, and he orders all this food that he doesn't eat all of it. Ugh, you know, up. And I'm thinking, because I'm broke today, I'm gonna have a dinner salad and a glass of water. You know, so I don't want to split this ticket, and so I'm against it. And y'all say, well, let's just vote on it. And so the two of you decide we're going to split the meal. Now I'm forced to pay for y'all's meal.
Yeah, you're screwed.
A portion of it. And in our system, I'm not allowed to just say, okay, well, I can't go out to eat with you guys. If that's the way we're going to do it, I just can't go because I can't afford it.
Yeah, you can't refuse.
I'm not allowed to say that.
Yeah.
I can't refuse. So you guys have basically forced me to pay for your stuff. And that's what voting is. Voting is the process in which it is the means in which plunder is divided, mm-hmm. basically. Because all these candidates have these things that they promise people and they've got to pay for that, and they do that through taxes. And when you're choosing a candidate, you're really just choosing who is going to plunder the rest of the population and for what they're going to spend it on.
Mm-hmm.
That's all voting is. And so I would say it could be the fairest situation if I'm allowed to say, I don't want to participate. I don't care about who you vote in. And I don't want to be plundered at the end of it. Then it would be fair, in my opinion.
Yeah. If you could opt out of voting and opt out of paying the taxes for things you don't agree upon, but there is no way to opt out. If you don't pay your taxes, you're going to jail. You're going to prison. Tax evasion. Getting massive penalties.
Yeah.
Garnishing wages. Ripping off bank accounts. I mean, it's bad. They'll go straight into your bank account if you do tax evasion, and they will wipe you out.
Mm-hmm. And so for me, that's why I don't vote. Because it's just a moral stance. And it's not just because I'm a selfish person and I don't want my money taken from me, which is part of it. But the other part is, I have no desire to take your money and force you to pay for something you don't agree with either.
Right.
Like, I don't want to do that to another person.
Right. Yeah, but, and we go into, I feel like we've delved into this topic in What is Agorism Part 1 and 2. I believe we go mm-hmm. into taxation as theft and voting is violent, pretty sure.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we've also taken it a step further and have written an ebook called How to Build a Stealth Business Using Counter Economics so you can opt out basically of paying your taxes. We sell you our strategy on how we do that.
Right.
Because I've been an unconscious agorist for probably 20 years just in the name of survival. As a single parent trying to survive in California, I couldn't even afford to give the government my slice of the pie. So out of sheer survival, I just developed agoristic tactics at work and kind of honed them in.
Mm-hmm.
And then you, right. on the flip side, you are more consciously acting upon this for your, I guess, morality and philosophical sense of it all.
Yeah, with the intent to subvert the state.
Yeah, you had the intent. I just had the survival mode. Which now I'm building intent, which now I'm mm-hmm. now even going a step further and not participating in the voting process.
Right.
And I actually feel better now. I was feeling guilty yesterday. I'm feeling better now because now I don't have to cringe. Like you were saying, it's more enjoyable to watch the shit show. I don't have to cringe on it because I didn't participate in that. I had nothing to
you
do with what y'all did.
You don't have anything invested in it. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Don't blame me. I didn't vote.
Yeah. Don't blame me. Shoot.
It's a lot more fun to watch and just pick a horse, you know.
With no money in the, no skin in the game.
No skin in the game. Mm-hmm. Just pick a horse. And then you can choose your horse on whatever reason you want to. Like for me, it's always comedy. I want comedy. So that's who I want to win because, you know, the state is always going to do the same things it does. It's going to take more and more of your money if it can. It's going to infringe upon more and more of your rights if it can. No matter who becomes president, that's what the state does.
Oh, yeah. Well, and that's the thing is the reality of it all and what I personally see and believe is that they're all on one track with a singular goal. Doesn't matter if you're red or blue, left or right. They are on the one track of the New World Order Agenda 2021. And it's all falling into place. Freaking super cities, communal living, not owning things. Everyone shares. I mean, it's going to be very pro-elite and not for the people. The people will just be the mere tools to build upon and become slaves, basically, which we're already, you know, we're already seeing it happen. So, and don't think the conservative red is not on board with that, because this is way deeper than all of it.
They all do the same things. They just come at it from different angles. That's all.
Pretty much. And do they ever fulfill their promises anyways?
No, not really. I mean, Trump is building a wall.
About 30 miles have gotten built so far.
Yeah.
In the past he's doing that. 6 months, maybe 30 miles got built. And I know this because we're down here and Cody was building on the wall. So I actually know this as a fact.
Yeah.
That 30 miles of Trump's wall has been built. Just saying. And what about, wasn't Hillary supposed to go to jail over some extreme email crime and all kinds of crimes?
I remember what you're talking about, but I didn't pay any attention to it.
Yeah.
I mean, what politician ever goes to jail? I mean, honestly, they all, such a large majority of them commit crimes and everybody knows it and they don't ever go to jail. So I don't know why people were all put Hillary in jail, because that's not going to happen. Yeah.
Well, that was the big slogan, is lock her up, you know, chanting at these rallies, lock her up. And that was a big shtick that Trump had, putting crooked Hillary to jail. And then once he won, he made a comment of, oh, she suffered enough. And that's when I knew. I was like, palm to the forehead.
Right.
Who did I just vote for? Oh, crap. And I mean, I can go on. I know Obama did the same and Bush did the same and back in time, you know, they all have these promises never kept. It just never ends.
Right.
I feel like I got sidetracked on that little blurb. Oh, the whole point is that they're all on the same team.
Right. Grow government.
Yeah. They're all pro-government. They're all government, big government, taking more control, leaving us with less and less, increasing our taxes, and moving us to the New World Order agenda, globalist, elitist system with a single world currency that can be tracked by a microchip in your skin that leads back to social credit system where you won't even be able to participate in going to a freaking grocery store unless you're a very good citizen. I know it sounds extreme. Maybe a little tinfoil hat.
Good grief. Now you've got me scared.
It's Hunger Games, man. It's the real deal.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's where I go with it all, which is why agorism works for me really well, because maybe it's a little bit of extreme beliefs, but it's a real thing. Look up Agenda 2021. There's a world document on it from the NWO, what is that organization?
United Nations.
Mm-hmm. Look up United Nations 2021. You can read all about it. Your jaw will drop. It's real.
Yeah, they don't hide it.
What is it? Oh, we're in 2020. And look at how much control that they've tried to take from us this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's that whole deal with the mask thing. I think I think that whole deal is just conditioning.
This has been a world conditioning event.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can go down the rabbit hole, since we're kind of going down rabbit holes, is, you know, the virus and the Wuhan lab and, oh man, we got to do a freaking episode on it. So take a shot, because that's our ongoing drinking game. So we have a drinking game when one of us says, we can make an episode about this topic.
Yeah. Everybody take a drink.
Take your shot, because we could do an episode on the whole conspiracy around the virus and NWO, New World Order, Agenda 2021. But now I feel like we're going way off topic here. But it's all a little fishy. It's all a little fishy to me. Yeah.
Well, the whole voting game is just one of the most successful devices government has come up with to make the enslaved feel free.
Pretty much.
It really is.
It's the biggest con of them all.
Yeah.
And it works. And then look at how it just divides us. I mean, we're literally split down the middle in division. Divide and conquer. And they have conquered the American people.
Sure.
United we stand, divide and conquer. Keep everyone divided. Everyone's arguing, fighting, literally killing each other now over these political parties. It's the insanity is... Yeah, I'm glad I didn't vote. You know what? Screw it. Now we've talked about it. I don't want nothing to do with it. I'm done.
Yeah. I agree.
You talked me through it.
Okay.
Maybe you talked some of our listeners through it, too, because we did get some feedback of others feeling a little guilty about not voting, so.
Yeah.
This episode should erase those feelings pretty well.
Yeah, I think it would be good if we could get people to feel guilty for all those times they voted to plunder their fellow citizens.
I don't want any backwards guilt.
Feel guilty about.
I don't want any backwards guilt. I only move forward.
Okay.
At this point, we just gotta, we just gotta move forward in life.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I think that about wraps it up. I mean, if you're still convinced to vote, by all means. But for me, I can't. I can't stomach it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm choosing to opt out. I've opted out, really, of paying taxes even, because I don't want to pay for something I don't support or believe in. And, and that goes with the voting, too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to enforce my beliefs onto other people, either.
So... Now that you've eliminated your guilt, are you still, is Trump still your horse?
Kind of. I mean, he's still my man, I guess.
Right.
But I'm not putting any skin in the game on that.
Right. I was just asking.
Well,
I mean, I would be okay. I would be okay with another 4 years of Trump because it's still comical.
You're still going to get comedy relief, trust me. I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely going to happen. I just feel like still, yes. But I'm not putting my money down on it anymore.
Right.
Yeah. I kind of like it because he's a little bit of a gangster thug. I mean, to be honest, let's just call it for what it is. And I kind of resonate with those kind of people.
Right. He is quite thuggish. Yeah.
He's a freaking boss. And he's a thug and, he's kind of an asshole. And I've always enjoyed, like mafia gangster kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of cool to me. So it would make sense that he'd still be in my corner. But
my guy is still Bo Jiden.
You still got Bo Jiden in your corner?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have to say it is tempting, though, if, I almost want Bo Jiden to win just for the sheer fact that he'll extend my unemployment indefinitely so I can just chill out.
Right.
I'm still riding unemployment. I mean, I lost my job in the oil field and I'm still unemployed, so I'm sure a lot of people are still in that situation.
Sure.
So in that sense, for my selfish wants of hanging out, collecting money, I want him to win.
Right.
Yeah.
You want your piece of that plunder?
I want it. They get to plunder the shit out of everything. They're plundering billions of dollars for all those rich friends up at the top. So why can't I get my little piece?
Right.
On the very bottom. Sheesh. And then I just turn around and take the money and reinvest it into business ideas and agorism and counter economics anyways, so it all kind of works out.
Cryptocurrency.
And cryptocurrency. Oh my god, I bought so much gold, silver, and crypto with my unemployment when it was bumped to the extra $600 a week.
Right.
I put a ton of money into alternative currencies.
Yeah, so that's awesome. You're taking milk from the teat of the state and feeding agorism.
Yes,
it's awesome.
I know you love that.
Yep.
That's like a huge win right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we need to keep pumping that free money to me so I can keep pumping up the counter economics.
Right on.
Yeah. Yep, go ahead and visit theoffgridoutpost.com if you want to get a copy of that ebook. We've got a couple free PDFs. All of our episodes are archived there. Any purchases you make, whether it's through Amazon or our direct digital products, it does help support this show so we can keep on rolling with it. You can also email us at cyrus@theoffgridoutpost.com or regina@theoffgridoutpost.com. Or leave us a voice message. The link is in the show notes.
Yeah, and sign up for the free newsletter, The Hitching Post. And if you're already signed up and have gotten a couple of issues already, let us know what you think about it.
Yeah, that's right. We're doing a really cool newsletter that's full of good, valuable information. Not just crap, like a lot of newsletters you get. So you'll really like it. All right, y'all. Well, until next time, I guess we'll know who our president is maybe by then. Maybe not.
I doubt it.
My dad, it's going to the Supreme Court.
All right. Well, we'll talk to y'all later.
Yeah. All right. Later.
Here's a little teaser for what's coming next week. Every level of deterrent increases the odds that someone who may be considering coming onto your property for reasons other than to say hi to you, every level of deterrent stops more and more people. Thanks for listening to the Off-Grid Outpost podcast. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to subscribe so you can get all the new episodes.